Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a wonderful guest, someone you all usually really appreciate, Ms. Linda Sherman. And Linda is a marvelous astrologer, but has a tremendous understanding and a backlog of information about our political world. So she not only is an astrologer, but she knows how to meet politics with it, or the way the world is going. So welcome to the show, Linda Sherman.
Well, thank you for having me, Veronica. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
I love it. And I asked Linda before we started recording if we could get a little bit dire right now. So, but I want to ask you a very simplistic information question as we start with the astrological, wisdom and so on. Are we all a microcosm of the energies that are moving through the universes at any given time, and are all of us affected differently from every planetary motion? How about that for a great universal question?
Well, yes, in a sense, all of us are going through a process together that is outlined, we have found, in the astrological community, which, by the way, is about 5,000 years old. So we've been around for a while.
That's older than I am, Linda.
Yeah. Oh, guys. Yes, we see that what happens historically, the experiences that we have in our civilizations and in our individual households, are reflective, in a sense, of the planetary pictures and constellations and the planetary motions that we as astrologers examine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we cannot predict is how are people going to respond to these challenges or these opportunities, however you want to look at them.
Well, I want to ask one more question before we go too far from this. Would you say that the mass consciousness of any given time builds up to these various levels, or builds up to these various flavors through the centuries? Like a continuum? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do believe so. But a lot about the mass consciousness also depends on individual cultures, whether they're nations or whether, for instance, in the United States, I would say that we have about three or four entirely different cultures here in the United States, which is a way that you view things, a way that you look at what's happening to you. Who you either give credit to or you blame for it,
mm-hmm.
Has a lot to do with the culture that you were raised in. So even though we may be all experiencing, say, the coronavirus, the different cultures and different subcultures of people interpret this as coming for different reasons and in a different way.
Hmm. Well, that's really interesting, because here's the coronavirus, and I was reading soothsayer.com, which is an amazing newsletter that Linda puts out every month, and the September one is hair-raising. I was trying to backcomb my hair, but I didn't have to. I just read your newsletter.
And it stands on it.
It stands up on it. But in any case, and you were talking about Mars, and I keep sensing and feeling as an intuitive that we're living in the pandemic and everything else. It's a world war in a way, and it's not like we accustomed to wars being. But there's a world war going on, and there's some kind of power structure. And you were talking here about Mars. I looked back at a few newsletters, and Mars has been acting up for at least 3 months. If I didn't go back far enough, tell me. But Mars in Aries is a god of war, right?
Yes.
So,
yes. Well, the thing about this Mars in Aries, he's in his own sign, which gives him even more Martian qualities, because both Mars and Aries are symbolic of a tremendous amount of what I call youthful, powerful, and unfiltered energy. The unfiltered part has to do with the youthfulness quality of Aries. It doesn't stop to think about consequences, nor does it bother to research data and say, well, where are these problems coming from? it just reacts in an angry, often an angry way and an aggressive way to the problems, whether they happen to be social injustices, economic injustices, all these things that we're facing. And as you know, for years and years in my all three of my books, my last one was Our Choice, Extinction or Evolution, that I co-wrote with Richard Spitzer, who was a data analyst from Wall Street, and we published at the end of 2017.
That's quite a book, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I analyzed the planets. We found out that we were pretty much in agreement with what lay ahead for us. And I feel that the problem so much of the time is that most people don't know about the origins of the decisions, say, with lawmakers in Washington or with the giant corporations and banks that are making very powerful decisions to line their own pockets and to get very rich, very often at the expense of just about everybody else, whether it's the natural environment with the oil and gas companies or with the banks, the manipulation of commodities and stocks, and the also keeping wages down or shipping wages abroad to almost virtual slave labor abroad. There have been practices that have been going on, and they've been implemented by very, very powerful people that very few people know. And so that people know they have been, in a sense, screwed, for want of a better word. They know that the economy isn't
controlled,
there.
Really.
They know that, yes, and that the environment that we're living in, what the scientists have been telling us for the past 50 years or so about climate change possibilities or probabilities is now upon us. We can't deny these things anymore. They're sweeping through. The pandemic of the coronavirus is thought to have been released in the middle of either Malaysia or Indonesian jungles, in which they're doing dramatic deforestation there. We know about Brazil and Central and South America have been taking down the rainforest. Most people aren't aware that it's even worse in these places. And in the middle of these jungles are the bats that carry the coronavirus. So they are, in a sense, released from these jungles. And so you have viruses spreading from Asia all over the world in the worst virus spread pandemic we've seen since World War I.
Well, I thought it was a GMO thing.
I don't think that this has anything to do with GMOs.
Okay, thank you.
There's no evidence to support that. I mean, the GMOs is a whole other thing that I've done some investigative work about. The genetically modified organisms or crops were modified mainly for farmers in America and other places as well, but primarily in the United States. These crops were modified to resist Roundup. Roundup is an insecticide and a weed killer. It kills bees and pollinators, but mostly it was designed to kill weeds in farms. The genetically modified crop, one way or another, wasn't engineered to make us healthier. It was engineered to resist Roundup. So the GMO whole thing, they're a little bit here. I live in Ithaca, New York, where we have Cornell University, and Cornell University science labs were the ones that created most of the GMOs years ago and sold the patents. The situation with that is a different situation, doesn't have much of anything to do with the coronavirus, which comes from bat blood, believe it or not. They've traced it to the blood of bats that feed off of other mammals and organisms, and they transmit viruses to the chickens and the pigs and the farm animals that are raised, particularly in the Asian nations. And you've heard of the wet market in China, where they have these animals hanging out for sale. And they think the origin of this that started in China came from that wet market. And they think that the virus and many other types of coronaviruses have infected that area and then spread around the world. So the scientists are seeking the origins of this. But I think that it is waking us up to many things. We're waking up now that we are at home and many people have lost their jobs and many small businesses are going bankrupt. We're waking up to another major, major issue, and that is the caste system economically that we have in this country. We have the billionaire banksters and the giant corporations, and then we have everyone else. The so-called middle class has been lowered and lowered and lowered in terms of the wages it makes, the savings it has. With zero interest rates, we've been able to create a bubble stock market that's the biggest in all of history, not based on the earnings of companies, but based on the fact that these giant funds that control most people's retirement savings are going into the stock market. Plus, the Trump tax breaks that were given the end of 2017 made so much money for the billionaires that they're using the money to buy back their own stock in their own companies. So what we have is a rigged situation making them richer and everybody else more poor. Now, since we've been shut in and so many people have lost things, we're beginning to see that the billionaires during this time have gotten much richer, while everybody else is losing their apartments, their homes, their housing, their jobs, and their small businesses. And disproportionately, the poor and people of color are dying of this virus because they don't have the economic or social support systems to help themselves. So while we're sitting in our houses talking to each other on Zoom and watching TV and everything, we're beginning to sit back and look at, oh, my God, what has happened to us? And this is what has happened to us. And the lawmakers have gone along with deregulating Wall Street, making lower taxes for the super rich, constantly demonizing all the only systems that the public have left, the post office, for instance, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, they constantly demonize this, which is mostly what the only thing people have to grab onto next to nothing. And then the rich and Wall Street, which is completely separate economy from the rest of the economy, keeps ballooning and moving bigger and bigger. So what we have is economic and social injustice.
Well, I want to ask again if it's world control. Is it a world control?
You know, to a degree, I think that's hard to say. There are people, I think most of the damage has been done by Americans here in the United States, our central banks and central bankers. But yes, there is. There are corporations all over the world and banks all over the world that are following America's lead in all of this. And there are the governments and the bank, there's so much debt out there that we can't even conceive of it. And the lowering of interest rates to almost net zero has devalued the dollar, which is why gold and silver are enjoying a bull market recently that we haven't seen since the central banks manipulated gold down in 2013. Which I talk about on my newsletter. I've gone into detail researching how these people get away with this stuff. So my point with people, to say to people, is that with the planet collection in the sign of Capricorn, which rules the establishment on all levels, whether it's the super rich corporations or whether it's the powerful people in government, they have been working together. to create a billionaire class and really almost ruin the lives of everybody else and ruin the natural environment as a consequence. So they believe in the magic of the market. They believe they worship the market like other people worship God.
Well, will they not feel the consequence of a global climate? Will they not feel the consequence of COVID? Will they not feel the consequence of, well, there's a global media control? I'm getting all these global things. I'm going, isn't there a time factor where a lot of this is going to crunch with destroyed climates from weather? You know what I mean? It's like, isn't there a big crunch coming up?
Yes, the problem is that these people are so insulated with the money that they have and the multiple locations they can live in and the resources they have from to flee from one place to another that many people don't have. They can avoid a lot of these things. I think that in a sense, they almost like belong to a market cult in which they are so buried in this notion about so-called free market capitalism, which is not free at all, that somehow they're so involved with that. Anybody who wants to do anything for the public at large is called a socialist or a communist. Now,
and those are poison words. I think socialism's just fine in a lot of ways, and I can't believe that it's so poisoned in this world.
Right. Veronica, I would like to get rid of all those words and say what we need is a balance between healthy entrepreneurial capitalism and social support systems, Social Security, Medicare. By the way, our water, our sewerage, our highways, and even our internet, all of this is social support systems, basic systems that give people a shot at making a decent living and a decent life for themselves. Today, unless you're a member of that cartel, you really don't have a shot at anything except getting a reduced wage and possibly losing public education, which is extremely important to give people an equal opportunity, because we're in a highly technical arena and economy now where people need a really good education. And we need a good education in civics and social studies so we know how to be citizens and to keep track of what's going on in Washington. Many of those people have been bought out by the billionaires, lock, stock, and barrel. So,
and the food, and the food, Linda. Don't forget the food. What they've done to the food to keep us stupid and fat is really terrible.
Oh, my God. That's one of my pet peeves,
me
Veronica.
Too. Me too.
Since the late 70s, early 1980s, the farming basically became deregulated, just like Wall Street got deregulated. The farmers got deregulated. And what happened with mass-produced food is they were allowed to put antibiotics and hormones into the cattle, into the pigs, into the chickens, into the turkeys, all of the animals raised in captivity for slaughter and consumption were filled with these things. And just over that period of time, in that period since around 1980, this nation has started to become obese.
Right.
And the fast food is even worse. The fast food uses these products, where if you'd use organic food, you're not going to get those hormones and chemicals, but organic food is twice the price in most locations as this food is. The fast food is cheap. It's loaded with those hormones and chemicals.
And addictive.
It's loaded with sugar and salt and fat.
Exactly.
And people get addicted to it, and pretty soon they're sitting there eating a whole pizza with chicken wings in front of their TV sets. And we now have an epidemic of obesity in this country.
George Orwellian kind of stuff.
It is. And the other side is the pharmaceutical companies that are charging exorbitant prices to manage illnesses that come out very often of the very unhealthy environment that we're living in, particularly the food environment. So that you have, and they're charging exorbitant amounts of money, even when the product goes off of patent, because again, they paid off Washington. And instead of really policing the laws they already have, they get rid of those laws. The cartel of global capitalists has been getting rid of legislation that protects people for about the past 30 to 40 years.
I know.
Just as an example, in 1986, the Reagan presidency plus the Congress got rid of a law that had been around for many, many years that said that newspapers, television shows, all that proclaimed themselves to be news, had to report the truth or they could be prosecuted for lying. They got rid of that law.
Oh my God.
And if you haven't noticed, since that time, we've been swimming in mass media filled with low-level conversation, lies, exaggerations.
It's like gossips.
Even the removal of news that we all should be doing. Now, I think that PBS and NPR are still pretty good. And 60 Minutes, I always like because they do present things pretty well researched that we need to know. But how many TV shows have you seen about homelessness? We had the biggest homeless epidemic we've ever had in our history, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest epidemic of homelessness across this country. Over 100,000 in L.A. Now, this is before the COVID virus struck. There's many more of them now.
Right.
But before the COVID virus, 100,000 in L.A., that many around San Francisco, 60,000 in Portland, Oregon, 75,000 in New York City, in Manhattan alone, all homeless people because the cost of housing has skyrocketed so high. Because one of the reasons is in 2008, which we all remember, under the last market crash, what happened, that was the banks were selling worthless subprime mortgage loans.
Right.
And when that crashed and burned, and people lost their houses and everything else, these guys with a lot of money, a lot of cash on hand, bought up that housing and turned them, either sold, fixed them up and sold them at huge prices, or fixed them up and rented apartments that maybe at one time were $900 a month and turned them into $1,800 a month to rent. Mm-hmm. So now, even my daughter, who happens to volunteer at a homeless shelter in Portland, Oregon, said that most of the people there were young people who had jobs and children. Some of them had two jobs. They couldn't make enough money to rent a one-bedroom apartment in that region.
Isn't that something?
So now we have people just don't make enough money to live.
But here's another factor. Is there's a lot of people without jobs now because of the COVID thing, and they're being dumped out of their apartments. And guess what? The apartments rents are also being raised or doubled. It's incredible. It's really hard for them to get in once they've lost their job. You know, there's no accommodation for this. It's terrible. I just think. But I want to ask you another thing is with this Mars and this kind of warrior energy that somehow is impacting us, does that not create a rising kind of a fighting instinct in people? Does it not?
Yes. I think the Black Lives Matter movement is part of it, that they are sick of it. Mars is violent, rules police. You get black men shot in the back and killed and are wounded. The whole thing, the 400-year problem connected to slavery and racism is being reactivated. It's been going on for a number of years now. But this movement, which is not only here in the United States, but has been inspired abroad as well, shows that people of color are discriminated against. They're kept out of the loop. Now, you have a handful of very, very famous people like Oprah Winfrey, you know, who are famous and successful.
There's some basketball
and
stars.
You know,
and yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are so exceptional because most people of color are discriminated out. They can't. And if their public schools don't work, if they're broken down and not financed, because they're in poverty area. The kids drop out of school, get involved with drug dealers, get into trouble. They can't get into a system where you need a decent education in order to have a decent job. And it just goes on and on. It's a self-perpetuating poverty due to discrimination and inequality. And by the way, this is true of poor white people as well.
I know.
That they, and one of the reasons that Donald Trump got elected is so many people said, I want a rebel, a Martian, a Mars. He's got Mars on his ascendant. That will fix all this. It'll mow them all down and everything. But he's the worst of the lot. He's the one who has been doing all of these bad things, just as bad or worse. So.
Do you think he's a catalyst for change? What I mean is, do you think he's that saint that some people call him because he's destroying enough that we have to rebuild, or it could change everything?
You could look at it that way. I think Trump is a narcissist and mentally deranged person who has a record of criminal behavior from beginning to the end. And now we're finding out that he shouldn't have gotten into the Wharton School of Business. Someone else took his SATs. They paid him off to let him in. I mean, everything about Trump, he's a grifter, a liar, a sociopath.
Narcissist.
You know, a narcissist, big time. However, people, he got up there, he knew how to manipulate the media. Remember, we have a media where you don't have to tell the truth anymore since 1986.
Right.
So you could get on something like Fox News or the media in general, or use Twitter and just make things up and yell at people, we're going to make you, we're going to save you, we're going to make you great. So he created what I call the Trump cult. Sort of like the Jim Jones cult in Guyana. We talk about drinking the Kool-Aid. And people are looking, they're desperate, they don't know what hit them. It seems as if legitimately no one has been listening to them for the past 30 or 40 years when the manufacturing shut down and went to China. I have to laugh about beating up on China. Who went to China? Apple Computer. I mean, the giant corporations picked up and left here, lock, stock, and
because they might have to pay taxes, right? And they might have to pay wages.
They didn't want to pay taxes. They didn't want to obey environmental laws. You know, the major cause of death in China overwhelmingly is cancer, and overwhelmingly is lung cancer, because you can't breathe the air or drink the water. They also smoke, chain smoke over there. They're affecting their health adversely because they have no laws prohibiting anything there for doing this. They can go over there, they can manufacture chips and put pollution in, all the pollution they want, into the environment. Oil companies, coal companies, whatever they do, they can pollute because there are no anti-pollution laws. There are no labor laws in China. Mm-hmm. So they can get cheap labor. And that's why our American companies went over there. Same thing, they went over to Mexico. And they're talking about...
I think Malaysia,
eating
too.
Up, mm-hmm. Yes, Malaysia, even Vietnam has experienced some of this, will run out of this country. These guys who are making more money than God, and they don't want to pay any taxes to help the rest of the infrastructure in this country. They're the only ones with the money because the workers don't have it anymore. They make so little money they hardly pay taxes because 47% of this nation before COVID broke out lives at or below the poverty line.
I know, it's incredible.
So you see the what I want to get across to people, the research I've been doing over the past 15 years or so, is what is the problem is that transnational capitalists and banksters control the world in every sense. They buy out governments. They control. They have laws favorable to them so they can escape staying here and paying wages to laborers. They can ditch the labor force. They can get out of paying taxes. They can destroy the environment all they want without any regulation. And I think when you talked about, is Trump a catalyst? I think he's a focus for all of this. We have to represent that all the evil that has been done, Trump has done it. He's a part of it. Mm-hmm. He loves it. He loves Wall Street. He judges the whole economy by Wall Street and the Wall Street bubble. When all these people have lost their jobs, their homes, their health care, everything. Mm-hmm. And this is, he is making us look at this. And I pray every day of my life that we look at these truths. And also, I think many young people today say, I don't want that kind of life. I want to live healthfully. I want to. And the one good piece of news is people like Elon Musk, a billionaire whose stock has skyrocketed way beyond what his profits are. But nonetheless, he sees a wave of the future. That's the good thing about certain American capitalists.
But he has the integrity. I think he has the truth and the integrity to do something about it. Do you think that's just optimistic?
Well, he certainly did. He took a lot of risks and everything, but he created the really first viable electric vehicle with Tesla. And I think we're going the positive here, Veronica, if we are really going in a direction where we're going to end the age of fossil fuel with the perfect battery that Elon Musk is developing and other people, but mainly with nuclear fusion that I have discussed on this show and other shows.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And the progress I've been reporting on most of my newsletters, how they're assembling all of the infrastructure, how they have a fusion reaction in four different sites. The big one is called ITER in France. There's a company called Commonwealth in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's across the street from MIT. That's made up of MIT geniuses who have figured out how to solve electrical conductivity and other problems associated with creating a fusion structure. Now, I made a projection that by 2026, we would have fusion chambers up and running. We would have systems. They're saying 2025, they're going to have prototypes up and running in all four of those sites in France, Germany, Switzerland, and the U.S. I feel that that is going to be the biggest thing since the invention of the wheel. Mm-hmm. I also think that you talk about a catalyst, that the COVID virus is going to create massive amounts of research and science in how to immunize us against these viruses and how to improve. I think immune system research is going on. Mm-hmm. Medicine, not only vaccinations, but medicine for viruses, and how to create an immune system that rids itself of these things. I think that the medical science is going to make huge progress in the next decade or so.
Well, and they've already told us that we have trillions of viruses in us all the time because we're made of viruses. We have to somehow use that information, don't we?
Yes, there are actual viruses that eat viruses.
Exactly. So we have to get holistic about it.
Well, sure. And there are viruses that eat bacteria. And there are viruses that eat things like brain cancer and kidney cancer.
So that's a big step.
Yes. And
before we leave this part, I want to ask you one more thing about this Mars business. I keep wondering if I've got this in a naive interpretation, but this drive, this kind of war thing, which is pretty fierce right now, does it not come up in us enough that we can transform this dominance by big corporations, that we can sort of rebel in ways that, I don't mean has to be bloody, but I mean rebel in ways that we are so confined by the control of the food, the control of the media, the control of the money, da 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 da. Don't we have enough chutzpah coming from that kind of astrological configuration to really kick over the traces, break things apart?
I think we could, Veronica. I'm on board with what you just said. I really think that we could, that many people are summoning from that Mars is energy and passion. When it's directed in a positive way, you can't beat it. It gets things done.
Right.
However, there's also that same Mars that is being summoned by people who are shooting people, white supremacists who are out there shooting down black people. And that Mars, in an undeveloped, angry mind that is mad at everything but doesn't know why, it can create undifferentiated violence. But if you look at that Mars as a passion and energy that can be used to correct our course, the answer is yes. It's like every other planet. How are we going to use it? How are we going to direct that Martian energy?
But when we're watching the Congress with Trump there, don't you wonder about, like, why are they so quiet about the horrific stuff that's going on? Why are they held in place, held for ransom? Why are they in a feeling of they're blackmailed to shut up, right? And
one thing about politics is all of us, I think, need to understand is that every one of these people is worried about getting reelected. That's just constantly on their minds. How can I get reelected? How can I? Am I going to say something or do something that's going to make people vote against me or what? So that's number one on many minds. Number two, there are things going on. They're just not reporting on them. There's a lot of negotiation in Congress in both sides of the aisle that goes on behind the scenes. Recently it's been harder and harder because Mitch McConnell doesn't want to talk to Nancy Pelosi. And they've gotten with each other into almost like a mutual hate society, you know.
Well, he's controlled things for a long time, right through Obama's stuff, didn't he? You know.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He for the only time in our entire history, he kept a Supreme Court nomination from happening for an entire year, a nominee that Obama put forward. And he said he wasn't going to do it till after the election. The problem is we're finding out there are not enough laws to say this, you have to do something, that this has to be done not just in a timely way, but in a time frame that is law, that you have to allow, you have to put this person up in front of the Senate to be voted on in a certain, that's not in the Constitution. They say a timely way, but they don't say what is the time, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, it has to be done. We're finding out that the president is a very powerful being and can get away with almost anything if he wants to.
And he does.
And we're finding out that it's very hard to impeach the president. And I understand that because you don't want all the political parties get into battles and want to impeach each other. And you don't want that to happen either. But the point is, when you really have a criminal in there, it's very hard to get him out. And
I've been reading up on Roy Cohn, his mentor. I mean,
yes,
he does
he's a mafia lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was evil.
Oh yes, everybody, all of these guys that were outrunning Steve Bannon, the most recent one, who were outrunning Trump's campaign or helping him in 2016, they're indicted or they're in jail. You know, it's all of these people around him are criminals, just pretty much like he is. And the reason he doesn't want his financial documents released, it will point out how he's been escaping paying taxes and manipulating things and committing fraud. And the New York Attorney General can't wait for him to be out of office to force him to reveal that, because the Supreme Court revealed because he's president, he can't get away with not revealing it. So, by the way, which leads me to something very important, this is in this month's newsletter about the election.
Please.
I said for the past couple of years that on election day, we're not going to know who won. Number one, we're not going to know because all the voting won't be in, because in addition to the COVID, in addition to Trump's devastating the post office and problems with the mail and mail-in ballots. We're going to have a hurricane coming up the east coast of the United States. It's like the worst day in history to have an election. So we won't know, but initially it's going to look like Trump has won. He's going to start declaring victory. Now, the Democrats are going to say, wait a minute, hold your horses. This is like the 2000 election with Bush and Gore. All those votes haven't been counted. People were prevented from voting. You know, we had things that we need to make sure that everything is counted and everything is there. So guess where it's going to go? It's going to go to the Supreme Court. And guess who the most powerful person in this country is going to be who decides our future? It is John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the great kahuna. And guess what? He's an Aquarius. I can't get over that. We're having the big Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Aquarius at the end of this year. And Roberts has his sun and his Mercury in Aquarius. Now, Roberts, it comes from a background. He's a conservative Republican. But he has showed an absolute respect for the sanctity of the court and the rule of law and the Constitution. I view him as a very decent individual, regardless of whether he was left or right or anything. He's already ruled against Trump about his financial documents being revealed, about ending Obamacare. He's ruled against Trump's wishes. Trump doesn't like him one bit. And he has railed against Roberts in the past. And Roberts, Supreme Court Justice, almost never says it. He says, saying, Mr. President, we have a constitution and a rule of law here, and you have to respect this, and the Supreme Court is the final decider. I want to say that this time around, our fate is going to be in the hands of John Roberts and the Supreme Court.
Wow. Well, that's actually probably good news. Because he'll have more credibility, he'll have more respect from the people that we might not even respect, just because he's Republican.
I have to say, initially, the planetary pictures, the position of Mercury, which rules voters in Libra, is very favorable, because it's also very favorable, by the way, to Kamala Harris.
Okay.
But, and not terribly unfavorable to Joe Biden, but as the month goes on and the votes are counted, and Mercury moves into Scorpio, it is more favorable for Joe Biden.
Okay.
So if they really count the votes and it takes to the end of November to determine, and because I think the Democrats are not going to let Trump get away. They're going to take this to the court, just as they did in 2000. They're going to take it to the court. And this is going to be quite a drama playing out at this time, because I really believe that this, as I said in my newsletter, I did charts for Trump and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, and I don't have a time for John Roberts. I kind of guessed at it or picked arbitrarily, so I can't say that this is absolutely accurate astrology. I have his birth date and location. But when I looked at his planetary array and thought to myself, oh my gosh, an Aquarius man is going to possibly determine the fate of our future. The next thing prediction I'm going to make is that whoever wins the presidency, the inauguration chart is one of the toughest, one of the worst I've ever seen. And that person will not stay there for his full term. He'll either die in office or leave office due to a serious illness. So whoever is the vice president, now if it happens to be Joe Biden, Kamala Harris will be the first woman president of the United States.
Wow. Well, I don't want Joe Biden to die. I want to backtrack again. There's so much to talk to you about, Linda. But the thing is, there's something coming up. I'm a psychic, which you know, and I'm seeing something coming up in September, October, like that, that could stop Trump, could create real havoc for Trump, whether he's creating a reaction because he's slipping in his comfort zone, or I don't know what it is. I just know something is coming up. And do you have any sense of that, or, you know, do I have to leave that
out?
Well,
I think particularly, yes, I think it's more in October. Mercury is going to go retrograde in Scorpio, and Venus will go into Virgo. So not so much September, but certainly in October. There's some really, really tough aspects. But he has survived all this. He's had many, many times tough aspects where things have come out about him. Look at his niece wrote a book.
Oh my gosh.
About what a dreadful. His sister, who is a federal judge, has gone on a video and talked about what a liar he is. And, you know, his members of his own family have come out and said the guy's a liar, a sociopath. You know,
well, what do you think about Michael Cohen's book? Do you think Michael Cohen's book will have more impact?
Oh, yes. Well, that's another situation. Michael Cohen has had a mea culpa because he was a Trump person, and now he is reporting on all the evil and bad things that Trump has done and gotten away with. But the people that gather around Trump, you know, Trump said when he back in 2016 when he was first running for office, that the people around him, if they saw him murder someone in the street, they would still vote for him.
Exactly.
Because he understands how to form a cult, how to create. Everybody ignores all the facts and all the things and makes him into a godlike savior for them so that they can be saved by someone instead of themselves doing the work that it takes to save themselves and to save humanity. They're looking for some kind of messiah. And he knew that, and he's a master at that. So the problem is going to be, Biden is definitely ahead in the polls, but not by that much. As far as I'm concerned, he should be way ahead in the polls.
I think that Trump is a puppet to a worse power than he is. Do you think I'm wrong?
I think that if anybody is a puppeteer for Trump, it's Vladimir Putin.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that he and Putin did a lot of rotten deals with human trafficking and Trump laundering bad Russian money over here through real estate, that Trump and Putin have been pals for a long time doing dirty deeds together. And I think Putin has so much on him that that's why he lets Russia get away with just about everything. And I think Putin and his minions have interfered in our elections, creating all of these myths about Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, everybody creating these awful stories and things that are lies, and posting them on Facebook and on the internet and everything. The Putin and the Russians are behind a lot of this to keep Trump, because they knew that Trump would create chaos in this country and take America down as the leading country in the world, which Trump has been steadily doing. He's absolutely dissed all of our allies. He's dropped out of the climate agreement. He doesn't like NATO. He insults every major leader in the world that was an ally of ours. And so, you know, he's doing everything that Vladimir Putin wants revenge for what the United States did to Russia. He's getting it through Trump. But I don't know about a greater force behind Trump. I think he operates for Trump only.
Okay.
I don't think that anybody is pulling strings behind the scenes. I think what you see is what you get, a crazy person.
Well, I just keep thinking of this Aries, and I keep hoping that maybe it's a force, a catalytic force inside of enough people to push away the power structures, at least some, to get a glimpse of real light
and
evolution.
Well, look at the demonstrations all over the United States for the Black Lives Matter movement. Look at a couple
They're
of days
wonderful.
Ago, the the anniversary of the Martin Luther King March on Washington was done in. You see hundreds of thousands of people out I haven't seen anything like this since the 1960s. Peaceful protesters saying it's time to get over this. It's time for equal opportunity for all. And yes, that Martian energy has energized a lot of people to get out there and make themselves heard.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mars isn't just a big energy. He's very strong in Aries in his own sign, but he's squared or in conflict with Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter in Capricorn. So he's bashing the establishment. But a lot of people think that the establishment is something other than what it is. They don't know what they're bashing. And the police are being, and Biden has already said he's not going to defund the police. Defunding the police is not the answer to anything. That's gone over the edge. But police forces everywhere need retraining and re-education about all this.
Redistributing of the money that they have.
Yeah. Exactly. But the problem basically is that there's a lot of crime in neighborhoods where people of color live that are poor because of that thing. They have been marginalized economically out of the system all these years. That's where the problem lies. When you don't have any economic power, you really don't have any power. That's the bottom line, is finance and economics. And when you are poor, you lose most of the things that would help you get into the mainstream. And even in the old days, before the technological revolutions, it was easier to get there. But today, you have to have a million PhDs in computer software development and cybersecurity and everything else to get anywhere, to get to the top of these things. And you need to go to these big Ivy League schools where you're going to meet other rich people that are going to become your pals and give you some connections into that area. And these people have no access to any of that. None.
But there is possible change, isn't there? There's possible evolution.
Yes, and I think I believe that with every fiber. I believe over the next decade or so, we're going to see massive changes. As the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction takes place in Aquarius at the end of this year, and we officially march into the age of Aquarius, I do feel that Aquarius has a mandate of fairness, justice, equal opportunity for all.
And innovation, right?
Yes, it's also science and technological innovation in everything across the board. I am ultimately optimistic. The two great Aquarians of the 19th century, Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin, were born on the same date, the same year, February 12th.
Wow, really? Wow, that's
And Darwin was the science Aquarius, and Lincoln was the Aquarius representing democracy and ending of slavery. And whatever faults you might find with these people, they made their mark in history with those things. So I think that there's the social part of Aquarius, and then there's the technical science side of Aquarius. And we're now in an age that's going to last for 2,100 years, and we have a huge problems that we have to solve, the biggest one being climate emergency across the world, that if we're going to continue to exist and live as a species, we've got to solve.
And do you think that the 1% is so protected that the climate stuff won't bother them? You know what I'm saying? Is people wonder that.
I admit, I never came, although I have what I consider to be a pretty good education, I never came from a level of plutocrats in society. I was not born into old wealth. I didn't go to Harvard, my MBA there. I don't understand what makes these people tick. I do think that some of them do see what's going on, and their conscience is bothering them. Ralph Nader, 10 years ago, wrote a book that said the only thing that's going to save this planet is the billionaires, the good guys that are the billionaires, because they're the only ones that have the wealth and the power to really turn things around. And he may be right. that there will be people who, like Elon Musk and others, who are taking us out of the age of oil, and others that are going to create new and more fair economic, political, and social systems, government changes, things. I'm optimistic over the long term, but I'm really, really scared about the bad use of Mars during this time. People just fighting with each other without negotiating with each other, without, like, the Congress are in it. Mars on one side against the Mars on the other side, beating each other up. That kind of Mars troubles me.
Me too. I just hope it would burst something in individuals so they will get stronger about truth, integrity of service, or whatever. You know, I'm being Pollyanna, but I really care. And you do, too.
So do I.
And I have to end this, Linda, but you know we could go on for a long time, and there's so much to share right now. And you've done a tremendous, tremendous lot of work learning and helping us understand. So I thank you. And how can people get hold of you?
Well, my newsletter is Soothsayer, S-O-O-T-H-E. S-A-Y-E-R at USA.net. That's my email. And my website newsletter is Soothsayer, SoothSayer.com. You can Google me, Linda Sherman, and they'll show you the Soothsayer, or you can Google Soothsayer with an E.com, and you can reach me. You can look at my newsletter. It goes up once a month free to everybody. My books are listed on the site. I've written three books. The last one I spoke about earlier, Our Choice, Extinction or Evolution.
And those books are not all going out of date.
No, they're on. They're really good. You can buy them online. Amazon online, and also you can click on those books on my newsletter, and you can reach me, as I said, on my email if you're interested in making an appointment. I'm booked about a month ahead. I've got a lot of appointments, but all my readings are done on the phone and recorded from my end for your convenience, and I'd be happy to hear from any and everybody. My passion is to use astrology as a positive source of light and information for humanity, for all of us individually and collectively.
Well, you've given me energy, and I hope the listeners find the same thing. Thank you all for listening, and thank you again, Linda, and we will talk, I hope, soon.
I hope so. Thank you, Veronica.
All right. Big blessings.